Luke 16, Jesus here told a parable about stewardship. And it's something we all need to take heed to because we are God's stewards. Notice verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So account of thy stewardship, that's our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here this morning, opening your word together. And we pray that now we would each open our hearts to hear from you, and you would reach in there with the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God and change us today, meet needs. And I pray you'll be glorified in this time. And Lord, that we'll have a sweet time in your word, a sweet time of fellowship later. We give it all to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to point out four very important things about God and about stewardship in these two verses. Jesus went on to tell a parable at the end here about stewardship and about primarily using money as an example. But four things that I want to point out that are very important for us as Christians. And the first one we see in verse 1, it says there was a certain rich man. We all know who this rich man is, don't we? It's God. And the first thing that we find when Jesus is talking to us about stewardship is that God owns everything. And we know this from Scripture, but let's go back to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. And I just want us to understand, firstly, this morning, when we're talking about stewardship, that God owns everything. Now, honestly, we as Christians, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, we as Christians often don't run our lives this way, and we often don't behave this way. We often think that we own this and we own that, but honestly, we don't own anything. God owns it all. We're just stewards, as we're going to see. Notice Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's God speaking. He says, all the earth is mine. God owns it all. Amen. Now, if you would look at 1 Chronicles 29, this is a beautiful chapter where David was collecting an offering. 1 Chronicles 29, he was collecting an offering so that the first temple could be built by his son Solomon. And the most amazing thing happened. The people brought too much. They had to stop. Said, okay, that's good. We've got too much gold. We've got too much silver. We've got too much precious gems for the temple. And in the midst of all that, here in verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 29, David said, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So David understood. He said, Lord, it's wonderful and thank you that we were able to give such an amazing offering, but it all comes from you and we've just given back something that's already yours. And when it comes to everything relating to living our life here for Jesus Christ, we need to understand God owns it all. One more verse, Psalm 50 and verses 10 to 12. Talking about this first very important point of this passage, and that is God owns everything. And if we will keep that in perspective, I think it will help us to be good stewards. Notice Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. God says, I don't need anything from you, mankind, because I own it all. God did not create us because he needed us or he needed anything from us. God created us to be a blessing to him. He created us to fellowship with him. But he doesn't need anything from us because he owns everything. And that really is One of the most important points of stewardship is understanding that we don't own anything. And God owns everything, as He's made it clear in these scriptures. So that's the first thing we see in this passage. If we go back now in Luke 16, the second thing we see, it says there in verse 1, which had a steward. Jesus is going to tell this parable to teach us a lesson about stewardship. Which had a steward. Folks, that's us. The parable is being told to us as His children. We are the stewards. He is the rich man. And we need to get a hold of this great truth that a steward owns nothing. A steward just takes care of someone else's possessions. And that's what we've been left here to do. You know, when God rescued Noah and his family there in the ark after the flood, what did He tell them? In Genesis 9, He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He said, you're now stewards. This is My earth, but I'm giving you permission to replenish it. And He made mankind a steward of His creation. He told Adam and Eve the same thing. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement of stewards, and that's what we are, that we be faithful stewards. That's a requirement. So I want to talk about stewardship this morning and talk about it in some certain areas that makes it easy for us to relate from the Scriptures. And I tried to start them all with T to make it simple. But according to the Bible, we are only stewards, first of all, of time. Think about that one. And this is the one that gets us into the most trouble. So go to Psalm 90, verse 12, if you would. We are only stewards of time. Now, time is something that is very important to us as human beings. And we're going to find that in the Bible, God doesn't care about time because it means nothing to Him. And probably when we get to heaven, time won't mean anything either. But we're stewards of time. Notice Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. David said, teach us, Lord, to number our days. To take account of our days as a steward of those days, which we don't own. We're just stewards of time. In Ephesians 5, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15. Redeeming, buying back the time. We don't know how much time we have. God could take us home tomorrow. Through death, through the rapture, we don't know. We don't know how much time we have. But one thing that we know for sure from Scriptures is it's not ours. But let's be real. Don't we treat it like it is? Don't we live our lives? Don't we make our plans? Don't we make our goals like it is our time and not God's? So many times in the Scripture, God says, I want you to use your time wisely. I want you to be careful how you use your time. Even when it comes to going to church, He says, I don't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I want you to use the time that I've given you to serve Me, to do right, to be under My word and witness and so forth. And we could go on and on, but the bottom line is it's not our time, it's His. We're just stewards. And the second thing, to keep it consistent with the letter T, I'm going to call it treasure. Now, most Christians don't like it when people talk about money. But God talks about money all through the Bible. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, if you would. And I want us to understand this morning that God owns all of our money and all of our possessions. Now, we often live our lives as if that is not true. But it is true. And if you have a job and you earn an income, praise God. But God's the one that gave you the ability to have that job. And God could take it away in a heartbeat. God is in charge of all of it. So notice here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is Mine and the gold is Mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that a good verse? God says it's all Mine. God isn't being selfish. God's just stating a fact. It's all His. That's why go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. That's why the wisest man on earth, Solomon, outside of Christ, who wrote about money, said we need to be careful to understand that it's God's. Notice Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with what He provides. Now honor Him in return, he says. Down in verse 27, he goes on to say, and part of that is being a blessing to others. We get to 1 John 3:17. He says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Because it's God's. And so not only are we just stewards of the time that He's given us, but also the treasures that He's given us. Also, thirdly, our talents. And by that, I also mean our gifts. But look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Talents just worked better because it started with T. If you are good at singing, if you're good at playing the piano, if you're good at teaching, if God has given you one of the many gifts that He's given to Christians, like the word of wisdom or faith or teaching or helps or government or mercy or exhortation, you think God wants you to hide that in the earth and wait till Jesus comes back? Or does He want you to use it? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See that word minister? He's saying put the gift to use. The day we got saved, God gave us gifts. He says put them to use. We're just stewards. If you have an amazing talent, who gave you that talent? It's not yours. God gave it to you. You're just a steward of that talent. And so we're just stewards of the time. We're stewards of the treasure. We're stewards of our talents and our gifts and the fruits that He's given us. Fourthly, we're stewards of our temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19, if you turn there. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And I'm saying all this to say, we're just stewards. God owns it all. God is the rich man. We're the stewards. He owns it all. We're just caring for it. And that includes our own body. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What's it say? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are, what? God's. The day you got saved, you turned it over to God. You said, Lord, I belong to you now. I'm yours. We're just stewards of what God has given us. And that includes our own selves. Imagine that. But do we run our Christian lives as if God owns our own body? No. We make plans and we make goals and we say, God, please bless these plans. Please bless these goals. Instead, we should be saying, Lord, what are your plans? What are your goals for my life? Because you own me. And then fifthly, we're stewards of the gospel. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. This is just a sampling because God owns it all. We're just stewards. But we're stewards of the time that He's given us, of the treasure, of our talents, of our own temple. And notice 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. We've been put in trust with the gospel. And you talk about something precious. The gospel of Jesus Christ can rescue people from hell. That's powerful. And we're just stewards of the gospel. We don't own the gospel. but we are to give it out. Amen? That's what he means when he says we've been put in trust with the gospel. And so we are just stewards of all that is about us. Everything that we own, everything that we are, even our time, we're just stewards. God's the rich man, we're the stewards. Go back to our passage now, Luke 16, verse 1, and he says, "And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." So the first thing I want to make a note of in this passage, God owns it all. Secondly, we're just stewards of everything that we have. But thirdly, God hates waste. How much time do we waste? How much of our treasure do we waste? How much of our gifts and our talents do we waste that we should be using to serve God? If you go to Luke 9, verse 17, when Jesus, and this is a very interesting point, I think I talked about this back in November when we were in 1 Peter, but you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and then when he fed the 4,000, he made a lot of food out of nothing, didn't he? I mean, he took just a couple of fishes, a loaf of bread, and the other time a little bit more. But he made enough to feed thousands of people out of that. And then he had the people sit down and the disciples passed it out. But this was Jesus saying, I can create because I'm the creator. And your job is just to distribute what I create. But the interesting thing is, even though Jesus made enough to feed all those people, and he could have made a million times more, here in Luke 9:17, it says, "And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained of them 12 baskets." Why did God even put that in the Bible? I mean, most people would say, why do we even care how much was left over? There was 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, when we have a potluck, there's always leftovers. Amen? But this is Jesus making bread and making meat out of nothing. So why did he have to record in the scriptures that they collected the leftovers? And I think what we find is that God, as we see here in this parable, Luke 16, doesn't want us to waste anything. Yes, he's the creator. Yes, he can provide and he will. He says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," Philippians 4:19. God will just keep providing. But God never wants us to waste what he has provided. And that's what he says here in Luke 16:2. "Give account of your stewardship. Have you put it to good use or have you been wasteful?" There's another parable in Matthew where the coins were given out. The talents. And some got interest. But the guy who was given one talent, what did he do? He went and buried it. And he's the one that got rebuked. Even though he preserved it, he saved it. He buried it in the ground and waited for his Lord to come back and then pulled it back out of the ground and said, "Here's your coin that he gave me." He said, why didn't you give me interest or usury? Why didn't you do like these other guys and put it to use? And it's the same with everything that we have of God. It tells us there in verse 2, "He called unto him and said, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship." So the third thing is God hates waste, but the fourth thing and the most important is we will give account. I quoted it earlier, but 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We will give account of our stewardship. What do we do with the time he gave us? What do we do with the treasure that he provided? What do we do with our talents and the gifts that he provided? What do we do with our own body? Were we good stewards of our own body for him? What did we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ that was entrusted to us? Did we pass it out? We will give account of our stewardship. And he says down in verse 10 of the same chapter, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So we have a choice when it comes to the stewardship of all that God has given us to either be faithful or to be unjust. That's our two choices. We know which one God wants. He wants us to be faithful stewards of all that He's entrusted to us. That passage I mentioned, turn back to Matthew 25 if you would. I'll go ahead and turn you there. But the parable of the talents. And notice Matthew 25, verse 27. At the end of the parable, Jesus says here, "Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." That word usury means interest. The point isn't making interest on the money, is it? The point is that Jesus saying is when I do return, I want a return on my investment. I gave you salvation. I gave you eternal life. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you my word. I gave you my presence. And then I gave you all this time to serve me. And I gave you all these this treasure. I gave you all these gifts and these talents. When I return, I want interest. I want some usury on this investment that I've made in you. I want you to put it to use. That's why it's called usury. I want to see that you actually did something with it. And that you didn't, like this man here in Matthew 25, just bury it in the ground and wait for me to come back. Because we're told, Romans chapter 14, "For we shall all stand," verse 10, "we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We will give account of our stewardship. Hallelujah, we're not going to give account of our sins. That happened at Calvary, amen? Paid for, gone. But we will give account of our stewardship. And our hope, that our goal and our aim is that Jesus would say, like He says in Matthew 25, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Have we been faithful with what He's made us stewards of? The time that He's given us, the talents that He's provided for us, the treasure, the gospel, even our own temple, our own body. Have we been faithful? Will Jesus say that to us when we give account of our stewardship? Will He say, "Well done. Thank you for giving me usury on my investment. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or will He be disappointed, like He was with this man? Because we wasted. We wasted what He provided. We wasted our time. We wasted our talents. We wasted the treasure that He gave us. We wasted everything. The choice is ours. Jesus has provided it. He's so good to us. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all," Romans 8:32, "how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He's provided us everything. And He says, "Now, be a good steward. Put it to use. Give an account someday of thy stewardship." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Your word and for